Thank you, caller. Dr. Degye, would you like to respond to his indications?
Yes.
Anything you can add to that?
Yes. I like the analogy that caller you drew about the Undertaker. That's a good analogy. That's one thing about Barbadians. I find they have a very good creative use of language. I agree that the ZR culture has spawned, for the past, as he said, 40 years, has spawned a subculture. Yes, the ZR culture is a subculture. It has its own dynamics and so on. And I think that, yes, more needs to be done to deal with a lot of the issues that have arisen from the whole ZR culture. Why things have not been dealt with and so on, I can't speak to. But of course, I think that this subculture that has been, for the past maybe 40 years, this underground, ain't even underground, but a subculture spawned by the whole ZR culture and so on. And it needs to be dealt with. He speaks about he said nasty music. Remember that music is a type of language, and languages shape our perceptions. And we say in sociology that language shapes the way we think. It shapes our thoughts, it shapes our perceptions, and it therefore will shape our interactions. And I think more needs to be done to deal with that issue of the music that's played on these ZRs. And then when you have school children listening to the boom, 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 boom on their way to school, when they get to school, all the nerves are on edge. Not that they may recognize that, right? How are they? Are they any use to themselves when they get to school? But again, some people would disagree with the whole issue of the music and so on. But I agree with the call on that, in that sense.
But like you have intimated, there'll be several sources of cultural influence on a society. You also indicated that the social media. So even if we were to deal with the what's happening on the Zaravan, so to speak, people will be still exposed to these negative influences or these potentially negative influence from the social media and other sources of information. Is there any indication of how a society might seek to deal with that? Is it a question of teaching people the values of to reject those things, or how do you manage it?
Oh, you mean with regard to social media?
Yeah. How would a society collectively decide on a policy of seeking to correct those deficiencies in the system, those defects in the system, in the media, any kind of media at all?
Okay, so that responsibility a lot of time lies with communities and families and so on. With regard to the media can only, well, you mean the use, I think I might be misunderstanding. You mean how people use media, as in how young people use social media and so on?
Yes, but I also want to say, what impact can a society, seeing that we have a free democratic society, freedom of expression, et cetera, how could a society collectively and in acceptable ways that we wouldn't be trampling on anybody's rights and rights, seek to influence the necessary changes of that detail of information and influence that come out of these various subsectors?
Okay, so I think that the community needs to take, various communities will need to take charge and educate their members as to what is acceptable behavior, what is acceptable in interacting with social media and so on. But then, since we know that the institutions play a big role, that's the role then of religion, the churches and so on, the community organizations, churches, the school, all those need to come into play.
How about the family?
The family, I forgot to say family. Family is the most important institution where we can start. The family is where we need to start in educating with regard to effective uses of media and so on. But remember that sometimes you have external influencers, or the family could do certain things that help. But then what about when children go out there, get involved in ZR culture, get involved in other things? But it starts in the family, community, church, all these, everything. It can't be one or the other. It has to be all involved together.
Can we take the next call before we go to 12:30 news? Is there a call online? Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
Hello?
Hi, good afternoon.
Yeah,
hi,
come right here, ma'am. Yeah, come right here, ma'am.
Hello?
Hi, Mike. Good afternoon. I'm hearing you.
Hello. Hello, ma'am. Are you still there?
Hello.
Hello. Hi. Yeah. Hi. Good afternoon.
Go ahead, please.
Yes, I'm all right.
Well, God bless you all. I was very concerned about these errors and things like that, because when you go, they hear all the music in your ear. And the other thing, you have the bleep or the cleaning that you're in the sun with the baby until you turn you around and all sort of things. I don't know what's wrong with these drug people about here. They won't work. And when the gangsters come here and work, they complain every time they money sent to Guyana. I planted agriculture, y'all planting weed. I don't understand this. They bring all the African nurses here and send all the Bajans and all the foreign nurses here. When a guy is, and nobody can get nothing to do. I don't understand what they're doing about here. They don't want to put gay man and gay woman together in Sodom and Gomorrah all time. Huh? They're going to burn fire upon this land. They want to legalize this, legalize that. These people take all these things to habit. Huh? This is the land of the God that God gave them. I hear reading my Bible. People hungry, hungry, hungry. Now you're selling this weed, weed, weed. You can't see nothing. Legalize you. I don't know, they don't make you fly back to Guyana for Christmas. You and another man land punishing. These people are here so wicked.
Thank you, caller. Dr. Degia?
Hi. Yes, caller. Some of what the lady was saying was breaking up, but I get that the caller is upset. And yes, I understand that there seems to be a general kind of feeling out there on the streets that things are not being dealt with, right? And then there's this type of anger and so on. She mentioned so many things that I don't even know which one to deal with, but I understand her frustrations and so on. She mentioned the ZR culture and so on. She mentioned the decline of societal norms, and I agree with some of what she's saying.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Dr. Degia. I think we are coming up to the 12:30 news. Maybe you can take do you have time for one quick call before we go to 12:30 news?
Yes, we can take a call.
Bastard's coming, please.
Well, good afternoon, Mr. Murray.
Good afternoon.
And to your guest. I have a little thing. Do you believe I have time to say it with the news? Do I have the time?
Yes,
and otherwise you can hold on until after the news.
Okay, I'll start then, but I won't finish though.
You have 2 minutes.
I think it's important. Mr. Murray, and to your guest, can you have me your name?
Degia.
Okay.
My name is Degia, yes.
Okay. I returned to this country in 2006. After just a couple of years, 15 years old to the country. And I remember I was invited to look at a site in a place called Platinum Heights. I think that's the name. Yeah. I got on a bus by Blackwater Polyclinic, now so Wellfitted Polyclinic, and I caught a bus, Mark Seville, because that's what I was directed to do. And when I put the money in the fare box, the driver told me, go to the back door, because the bus was packed. And when I got into that bus, there was only two, what we call black people on that bus. Two people before could hear. The driver and I say that to say this. I heard the stats man earlier. If you have a country 166 square miles, and you open up the immigration that any and everybody could come, this so-called culture that we talk about, barbarous culture, which for years I don't understand. I know the certain habits we have, like cooking and etc. I don't know about this real culture.
Mm-hmm. Hello. We are coming up for the 12:30 news, brought to you with the compliments of William Industries Incorporated. We'll be back with Brass Tacks after the news. Welcome back to Brass Tacks Sunday, and thank you very much for Wendy Burke for the news. We are in the studio today with Dr. Hajima Degia. We are talking about social change in Barbados. Dr. Degia, if I might go a little in a slightly different direction, but related to the old question of social change. We had mentioned earlier, hinted at some of the after effects of social change. Some of the issues that have emerged in the almost coincidentally are falling close on the heels of COVID have to do and have been quite apparently disturbing or causing great anxiety among some sections of the society have to do with, again, we go back to traditional values, norms, way of life, things that people have held there as their worldview, as part of their religious beliefs for generations. And they now feel are being questioned, challenged, and even threatened. I refer to things that the proposal for same-sex unions and same-sex marriages. I refer to the proposal to liberalize the use of cannabis. I also refer to the question of Republican status, which will be a different way of life, at least thinking, worldview, attitude, values, and sense of importance, threatens, challenges, established belief systems. How would you say a society should need to handle those issues which are particularly potentially disturbing to people and would have an effect, a negative impact on the society and how it functions and its general area of settlement as it goes forward?
Okay, but Mr. Marie, before I respond to your statements and queries, we still have a caller. Remember, we still have a call on.
He's still holding.
Okay. He's still holding. I thought
when they said that he only had 2 minutes, that was it. Alvin, go in, please. Come in, please.
Well, thanks, Mr. Marie, and your guests for keeping me on. Now, I want to say this and move on. Now, I want to ask you all. You think people are misusing the word culture? Let me give you a reason why I'm speaking. Now, we're hearing about minibus culture, gang culture, all types of cultures we're hearing. Now, my mother was of the intention. For all my life, I find myself very comfortable among the Vietnamese and Belgians. My father was a Belgian, my mother was of the intention. What I'm saying, and I will move on, that's all I'm forgetting. If you have a country 166 square miles and you open up immigration for anyone to come, they're going to complain that culture is changing because everybody can come with their own culture. We're not bringing, I think, 95 people from Ghana. They got Vinci Town. They got Georgetown. We might go Ghana City just now or Ghana Village. Because you're bringing in people that have their own culture that they're going to bring here. And they're going to mix, get chosen from one another. And we only want 66 square miles. So for another one, got the Belgian culture. And Earl Walton Bower, the greatest man ever walked this earth for me, told me, when I said there was a gathering of us, that we're going to wake up a day. And they can know if it bothers us. You all have a good morning.
Yes.
Thank you, Alvin. Dr. Dagier?
Yes. Thank you, caller. You've made some good points, relevant points. That last point that was made about, well, soon for now, we might not have a Bajan culture. I don't know if we could say that, but what's happening is that what we knew as Bajan culture is changing, evolving, has evolved, and will continue to do so. And yes, definitely, with continuous migration, culture changes and will continue to change. And what he's saying is correct. It's happening now. We are interacting already with people from various parts of the world, right? You go in town and you hear many accents. You hear Vinci, you hear Guyanese, you hear Jamaicans. It is just something I have observed. And as he said, we are people marry, they get children from each other. There's a blending of cultures. Now, this in a way is a type of regionalism too, but this isn't something new. Prior to independence, from what I've read in history, people always migrated and moved around the Caribbean and created hybrid cultures and so on. And the cuisines and so on are all part of that hybridity. I remember when I was a girl in Suttle Street, you had all the vendors and hawkers were from St. Lucia and Dominica. And I think some of them used to travel, like they used to go off on these boats and then come back over the weekend to sell their produce. And growing up as a girl, I remember in a city, Bridgetown, was really a place where you used to hear many regional dialects, right? I'm talking about the 70s and the 80s, but mostly the late 70s. So yes, and what the caller is saying is correct. But so you can't specifically speak about one culture because culture is constantly changing, and things like migration, a declining fertility rate that we have, that governments and relevant authorities have been raising alarm about for a while, will lead to more migration and shifts in culture and so on as well. So that's another thing to look out for and to be interested in and to examine as well.
Thank you, Dr. Gidegid. Don't you think that, are you saying or implanting that given that we are in a state of constant change, given that we are looking to open up to more migration to increase our population base, that the country has to be prepared, the base country, the country that exists, the peoples and the attitudes and values need to be open and broadened and be sensitized to the fact that there are other people coming who will look differently, speak differently, cook differently, dance differently, have different music, and that these various manifestations of culture, including different religions and faiths and whatnot, that we should be prepared for that, and that we should teach, therefore, aspects of tolerance and broad-mindedness and acceptance and whatnot. You think that should be a conscious effort and program on behalf of the authorities that be?
Well, Mr. Marie, the conscious effort and the conscious education of these things you mentioned could lead to possibly a more harmonious society, a society where you may not have too many, you don't want too much conflict or chaos. You don't want to create a situation where of xenophobia and racism and, you know, all those types of things. Not that they aren't here. But at the same time, we have to be very careful that we are not imposing our judgments and ideas onto the local population. We have to be sensitive to that as well. We have to understand the very nature of the culture of Barbados and Barbadians. We have to respect that the traditional Barbadian or whoever may not be that accepting of change immediately. And I don't think there should be an imposition, a forcing, or well, accept it, believe it, this is what you should do, and so on. But at the same time, I don't necessarily have answers with regard to how it could be done. Of course, any education regarding tolerance and awareness of other groups and awareness of other religions, ethnicities, etc., is a good thing. It's not a bad thing. It leads to harmony within the society, a type of consensus, and that's good. But we have to be very careful as well of not imposing and not disrespecting the local population. It's a case of, you have to accept this is how it is, and you like it or lump it kind of mentality. We don't want that, right?
But who determines that consensus? How do you arrive at that societal consensus to know that the situations that are ripe or not ripe for such changes, such differences?
Who arrives at that? Well, there needs to be, I guess, more awareness, more understandings about on the ground, what's going on the ground, what's going on in the society, how are people feeling, what are the perceptions that people have, right? That can only come with, I assume, research or going out there and asking people or educating, being insightful. We have, Mr. Marie, I'm seeing that we have some call. We have three.
Okay, we go to our calls. Next call, please. Come in, caller.
Hi, good day.
Good afternoon, man. Good afternoon, sir.
Yes, it's wonderful to hear my former lecturer. I remember several years ago, I would have had the privilege of sitting in gender and development and going through the many theories that Caribbean societies are faced with in the evolution of gender equality and stuff. So it's good to hear her still in fine voice. She's a brilliant woman, and I commend her highly. Good program. I wanted to raise the issue, though, concerning the whole society now, particularly in this charged political climate. We have one political party just settling its leadership and it would appear that there seemed to be a consensus to move forward with, to retain that leadership. But on the other hand, there is the dynamic where more females are coming to the fore. And I'm just wondering if there is a struggle, well, a tension that continues to say, or we are going to allow for females to find their place in the political life of Barbados, find their place or impose them, as opposed to there has been a you know, patriarchal type situation historically, but is there a deliberate attempt to redress that, you think, by some players in the society? That's a question.
Okay. So thank you, caller, and thank you for your earlier comments. I don't know the inner intricacies of the situation of the political party, but based on what I'm seeing in the news, to me, it appears, based on what I've read in the news, that there seems to be some type of tension there. And I have interpreted it from a gender lens, and I was wondering if other people saw it like that as well. It appears as if there's some attempt to sort of retain a patriarchal culture within the party and so on. But again, not being totally aware of the intricacies of what's going on. I don't think that there is a purposeful attempt to address a lot of the gender imbalances, or to address maybe a possible deficit in of women in politics. I don't think there's that. I'm not sure if behind the scenes the Gender Bureau and so on is working on that thing, but there seems to be a type of deficit in purposefully addressing that gender imbalance in politics. But you have to keep in mind that the reasons why you may not have many women involving themselves in politics, you know, you look at Barbadian culture and so on, people may prefer to stay away from perceived hardships or perceived controversies, or they may tell them, women may just not see it as feasible with regard to certain perceptions that society might have. But once again, I stand to be corrected.
Thank you, caller. Dr. Degia, before we go to the next, call. Hello, you still there?
Yes, hello? I'm still. Caller is still here?
Thank you, caller. We have to go on to, hello.
We have another caller.
Hello?
Hello?
Are you still there, caller, or can we move on to another caller?
No, I am hearing you. Are you hearing me?
Yes. I am hearing you. We're hearing you.
All right, let me ask a question. I've heard so much this morning about Barbadian or Bajan culture. Perhaps if I can get an answer, have we not adopted both set of different people cultures? For example, I heard people talk about the Gug culture. Sometime back, I heard people talk about the American style prison, the parts below your backside. Then the conviction that we are so into Jamaican culture that even some of our commentators on radio do advance the Jamaican culture on us. So how can we define the Bajan culture? The Bajan culture cannot be only dance, or which we call work up. I think the Bajan culture is a lot of things that we really and truly don't want to admit, such as cottage industries and things that would have brought us from back there right up to this point. But I'm convinced that we've now got a challenge, and that challenge is that we have found ourselves talking about the Bajan culture when, in true fact, we have swapped our Bajan culture for the various other cultures that are around us. What do you say about that?
Mm-hmm. Yes. All right. Yes, sir. I agree with you to some extent, a larger extent. It seems as if, the changes have come from elsewhere. You speak about gun culture, and that's very important. If we had more time, that would be a good thing to focus in on too. We don't have a lot of time. And I think that, yes, a lot of the irresponsible behaviors and negative things have come from outside. At the same time, having said that, a lot of it, a lot of the negative things that we speak about and you spoke about have come from within the communities themselves, right? And for me, how I see it, it is structural issues that were there for years, right? Many, many years have come to the fore finally. And I don't know if we could blame outside people, outside cultures and so on, although that outside things would apply to many things as well. But I feel one thing leads to another. And I think about things like opportunities, lack of opportunities, poverty, the fact that young people are feeling a sense of hopelessness. People will say to you, well, if you went to school at a certain school, were they in a place for you in this country? And people, many people in many communities around Barbados, working class communities, are wise. They've wisened up to what's going on. And I think that a lot of what's happening is a result of this alienation, the poverty, the hopelessness, the educational deficits, and so on.
One final question.
Yes.
I can put it to you. How it is that the Indian community, how it is that other communities that are in Barbados have not adopted some of those cultures that I have just talked about? I have found that a percentage of our imported culture have been overlooked by certain people who occupy our living space, who have schooled here in Barbados, and they have not adopted it. But we seem that somewhere along the line that we have to adopt those cultures that take us nowhere.
Okay. I don't know to what extent that, I don't know what may be the reasons. I don't know if it has been a case of, as you say, the Asian community has not necessarily been liaising with the mainstream, so there hasn't been this interchange of culture. I'm not 100% sure. It could be a case of one community being so exclusive that others have not been able to get in to understand certain things. And this is a total different point, and we can't dwell too much on it because I don't think we have a lot of time. But one observation I have made, and it's a personal observation that I feel that later on I may take up to do some research, but there is a definite trend of young people away from traditional Christianity. And you say about adopting Asian values and so on. But what people are doing, not necessarily Asian, but they seem to be more going into some alternative religions and that kind of thing. So that's another dynamic that's happening. I'm not 100% sure, but I suspect the exclusivity of the Asian community has in some ways been an obstacle to some people adopting other culture. Then again, there might be the idea that why adopt another culture's values and norms? Why does there need to be that as well? Yes.
Okay, I'm going to leave you with this, but as the Indian community traced the culture from back to culture, and at least embodied it into the children from young, so that the children are aware of any understanding that this is our culture, regardless of where we go, whether we are Barbados as our domicile. But if we travel to Australia, if we travel, we still have this. And I don't know. I'm going to close by saying that.
Yes.
Somewhere along the line, part of our situation, part of our failure to develop this country to the way that it was, is that we have allowed our culture, or what we consider to be our way of life, to be embodied by the other people's way of life, which is clean and which is necessary, hopeful. So we've got to get back to our way of life.
Yes.
Thank you, caller.
Thank you, caller.
Thank you very much. Before we move on, Dr. Daguerre, I think that you mentioned You mentioned earlier that of the need to be in touch with your grassroots, in touch with the people on the ground to make sure you're not being, you're not imposing change on people that they're not necessarily be ready for or reluctant to accept. Suppose that, how do you march that against the interest, against the argument that because of Barbados's economic situation, tourism down, malinfraction scale existing, we need to open up, we need to do certain things to be competitive, to reposition ourselves in the world, that might, you think that that is a strong argument for, or do you have to, for change, or how do you get people to accept that argument when, and truth in the fact that they might have certain resistance to it based on traditional values, their religion, the sense of right and wrong, and things that they might not normally have felt were acceptable?
Yeah, correct. That's a good question, Mr. Marie. Yes, there will always remain that tension between people, the community, the citizens, and decisions that the state wants to make. That tension would have to be resolved one way or the other, and there are points when the state definitely has to take control and go ahead with decisions. The state and state agencies can try then to educate the public or be a bit kinder in their approach. But when decisions have to be made, they have to be made. Of course, that's the role of the state, right? So you can't always, you try to alleviate that tension, you try to deal with the tension. I think that Barbadians have a reputation. People always say across the Caribbean, Bajans don't like change and so on. But that tension has to be resolved one way or the other. Sometimes the state has to go ahead and take control.
Do you talk about education? Should that education come, if possible, before, during, and after? Or should it just be done?
Yeah, I think the education could come before, during, and after. That would help. That would alleviate some tensions, some conflicts. Remember, there will always be sectors of the society that will be adamantly against or for, but that's the way that you navigate a society.
Thank you. This is Brass Tacks, brought to you with the compliments of Williams Industries Incorporated.
For that surprise, big or small, at Williams Metals we have it all. Angles, flats, cement and doors, lumber, windows and much, much more.
Get all your lumber needs from us. We have number one treated pine, all different types of plywood, V-joint, siding board and concrete board. In addition, we have grade 3 2x4s and form ply for boxing.
Big or small, at Williams Metals we have it all. At Williams Metals we have it all.
Visit their website at www.williamsmetals.bb.
Brass Tacks Sunday. Dr. Degia. Hello? Hello?
Yes, sir.
Can we take another call, please? Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, good afternoon, Mr. Marie and Jeff.
Yes, good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon. The statement was made with Guyana and Guyana. They mix, but they don't mingle, which is very, very, very interesting to me. As an audience would understand why. It's because of a BBC broadcast from the forum called Sugar, this is the Sweet Money. People, you can access it and listen to it. This is that the colonial slave masters actually started this concept of racism in Trinidad. And if you read the encyclopedia of religion, you see that racism thing went also to Guyana. Basically, what they did, if you look into the encyclopedia of religion, they can use that they brought on the indigenous servants. They set up a divide and rule strategy between them and the descendants of the African slaves who were in Trinidad. The encyclopedia of religion showed these descendants of African slaves were actually descendants of African Muslims. This is very interesting. That was the way that statement was very interesting to me. Now, Ms. Murray, are you with me?
Yes, we can hear.
Malala Yousafzai made a statement on BBC. That it is not true that Islam does not educate the rules. The Prophet Muhammad said, all must be educated, male and female. But because of what certain things which the Indians went through under the colonial rule, which is similar to what had won in Trinidad and in Guyana, I can understand why they were hesitant for your guests to take tertiary education. Also, some harassment, which some jurors here used to go from there, some Muslim Indian jurors used to go through also. I have that from a very well-known Indian female. That even though the judge probably used to get a lot of cat calls, etc. You have a good afternoon.
Yes, thank you very much.
Dr. Degia, we are probably having about 11, 12 more minutes to go before the end of the program.
Okay.
Would you have any encompassing comment on the general state of the Barbados society. What do you see as the stresses and strains, the dangers, and what can we do to avoid the aggravation of the situation to make things better or to make things worse for the society? What would be your insights that you'd be given your professional experience and training and whatnot?
Yes, I think that one of the biggest issues that we're facing would be social inequalities. And these social inequalities didn't just happen suddenly, but I think they've been set in place for eons from the days of establishment of Barbados as a colony.
And what do you mean by social inequalities, please?
Right. So I think that we have a lot of social class divisions, but initially we had racial divisions, and race tended to determine people's social class within the Barbadian society. As time has progressed, this situation has evolved to a point now where you have varying opinions about, do we still have racism? Are people still racist? And so are certain groups more dominant than others and so on? And that is a very debatable thing in the world we live in. Not that race and racism has disappeared. I think a lot of the issues are income disparities, social inequalities related to social class, and a situation where social mobility mechanisms have all but disappeared or are declining. And that, to me, is a problem, because when you have people that the traditional mechanisms by which they could increase or help or advance their life chances, education, jobs in the civil service, and jobs in the civil service, remember, was a traditional consequence of government policy, the social democratic ideology that was put in place by the Errol Barrow after independence. But because we've evolved as a society, that has had to shift, obviously. So the supposed Barbados model has changed, and that is leading to a type of chaos, not conflict, but a chaos within the minds of people. So I think is the avenues for social mobility have declined, and people no longer are able to navigate a better type of life, a better, what Bajans used to call do better, doing better. Right. So I think that how can we address that? We might need to shift our understandings of education. We might need to shift our understandings of the workplace, jobs. It is to me a hard thing. It is to me a very complicated matter in how do you help your citizens to advance to a better type of standard of living whereby they can feel satisfied, and where their children are safe, where your communities are not riddled by gun violence, and where people know that there's better to come.
You spoke about democratic socialism, mm-hmm. depending on where you stood as representative of a past era, but that has to me been replaced by what is known of the Washington Consensus, where the emphasis is placed on the private sector. Do you see the private sector? I think COVID has paid a lot of that too, but do you see the private sector in Barbados as being equipped, prepared, have a philosophy beyond just for making profits, creating jobs just to make profit, or do you think there's a social dimension to their role? How would we get them to accept that? While the dynamics for government's role has changed, it means that the dynamics for the private sector must also change.
Yeah. I agree with you. I agree with you that the dynamics of the private sector can change, and that if it changes, then things will get a bit better with regard to opportunities for people. But remember that at the same time, operating within a capitalist global environment makes that type of thing a bit difficult. Capitalism seems to be by nature a bit brutal. But I think that because Barbados is a unique society, and we've always sufficed on a lot of dialogue and interaction and coming together, compromising. And you think about the economic recession of the 1990s we faced and how we dealt with it. That can be done again, I think, yes. So yes, the private sector has a role to play. I think we have a caller, Mr. Murray.
Brass Tacks, come in, please.
Yes. Good afternoon, Mr. Marie.
Good afternoon.
And good afternoon to your guest. I want to ask the guest a question, please.
Yes, go ahead.
I'm hearing person talking about saying sex is culture. Is it? And what is culture? Because I am a bit confused.
Okay. But culture is really just the way of life of a group of people. It's just the way in which the things that people believe, like their beliefs, the things that they think are right or wrong, how you raise your children and so on. I don't know about same-sex marriage, same-sex relationships being part of the culture. I don't know about that. I don't see it that way. I don't think that traditionally that has been Barbados's culture, right? Mm. Because if culture is the way of life of a people, I didn't see that before.
Mm. But I know you're hearing that, right? So that way I ask the question.
Right.
Hello?
Right. Yes, yes.
My last one, now. This got to do with, I am not against same-sex. But mm-hmm. I mean to say, without injection, without transplants, without thing, I want to know if two real men and two real women can make babies. I don't want him about the adoption or no injection or nothing. So I mean the real thing, if they can produce a baby. Can you hear all this about this CSS and they want all this type of law and whatever. You can help me if they could get babies without injections.
Well, ma'am, they can't. Not sure. as you said, don't put in all the other things. Well, they know, right. I guess they can't. But if they want babies, then that is aided by the things you mentioned, injections and all the treatments and technology you have now. But without those things, I don't think it's biologically possible.
Wait, because I thought it was transgender that the crossover from a female to a male. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Thank you, caller. We ran out of time. And thank you.
Thank you.
Dr. Dege, before we go in the last 5 minutes or so, we very often hear these terms, progressive, liberal, old-fashioned, conservative, antiquated, status quo, you know, reactionary. And we're being told, Barbados has to be a progressive society and keep up with the rest of the progressive world if you want to progress. What is your reaction to those labels and what do they mean in the Barbadian context?
Yeah, I don't think that change for the sake of change is a good thing. And then we use the words progress and development. What's the context behind which we use those terms? Progress could mean different things to different people. And I know that if we look at the history of the ways in which development across the world has occurred, for Europeans, development meant following their path of development, taking the same path that they took. But that didn't work for us, even though we embarked on that path, right? So I think every society needs to examine its own economic situation, its own resources, its people, and chart a path of development that is unique to that society. But the mistake we've made across the developing world is that we've followed our colonial masters. And in some cases, we're stuck in a situation where we didn't chart an independent path, so we no longer know what to do. So progress isn't always a positive thing that people describe it as.
Is it too late to change direction to even turn back the clock if possible?
No.
How do we make a corrective step?
Yeah, I don't think we can turn back the clock, but it's never too late. It's never too late to change direction. We can always come up with new ideas, new plans, new ways of growth, new ways to stimulate our economy and our society and so on. But we have to. Obviously, we are constrained by global dynamics and so on, but that doesn't mean that
last quick question. Are you optimistic about the future of Barbadian society?
Sometimes I get very pessimistic, but I've always been a person who has believed in some ways, like as some people say, I have always been guided, my life has been guided by the idea that there's always hope. And there's always something you can do, and there are always ideas that you can put forward, and there's always more than one way to skin a cat, as people say. So I balance between pessimism and optimism, but I think that obviously these things can't be done on their own, so there needs to be concerted effort by relevant authorities to put in place mechanisms to deal, as one of the callers said, the psychological aspects, the sociological aspect. You can't deal with things if you're fumbling about. You have to know. You have to know what is the situation. This is what we're going to do, and then we do it.
Thank you, Dr. Digge. I want to thank you on behalf of Brass Tacks family. I welcome you to the family of Brass Tacks, listeners and participants. I thought it's been a fascinating discussion. You raise a lot of nuggets for further source of discussion, and I look forward to interacting with you in the future, or somebody else from Brass Tacks interacting you. But I think that you've done well, and I want to thank you very much for your contribution. Again, Brass Tacks family brought to you with the compliments of Williams Industries.
Thank you very much, Mr. Marie and callers.